Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the host of Podcast DX. Our guest today is Agnes, who is joining us from Australia to talk about sickle cell disease.
Hi, Agnes.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Agnes, and thank you for joining our show today. Start us out by telling our listeners what exactly is sickle cell disease.
Well, according to the American Society of Hematology, sickle cell disease is a group of inherited red blood cells disorders that causes the production of abnormal hemoglobin. So normally the hemoglobin, which is a protein and resides inside the red blood cells, attaches to oxygen in the lungs and carries it to all parts of the body. Healthy red blood cells are flexible, so they move through the smallest blood vessels. In sickle cell disease, unfortunately, the hemoglobin is abnormal, causing the red blood cells to be rigid and shaped like a C or sickle, the shape from which the disease takes its name.
Okay, and from what we understand, there's actually more than one form of sickle cell disease?
Yeah, there are six different ones. And if you'd like to learn more about these types, you can check out our website at podcastdx.com.
And Agnes, what are the symptoms for sickle cell anemia?
So according to NIH, early signs and symptoms of sickle cell disease include swelling of the hands and feet, which is sometimes called hand and foot syndrome, symptoms of anemia, including fatigue, or extreme tiredness and jaundice. Over time, sickle cell disease can lead to complications such as infections, delayed growth, and episodes of pain called pain crisis. Most children who have sickle cell disease are pain-free between crises, but adolescents and adults may suffer from chronic ongoing pain. And over time, sickle cell disease can harm a patient's spleen, brain, eyes, liver, heart, kidneys, penis, jaundice, bones, or the skin. So the different complications.
Yeah, that's pretty much everything.
Yeah,
jeez.
All the organs.
Yeah, that's definitely a lot to digest. Agnes, how does someone get sickle cell disease?
Well, as I said, it's inherited. So people who have sickle cell disease inherit two abnormal hemoglobin genes, one from each parent. Hemoglobin is a protein in red blood cells that carries oxygen throughout the body.
Well, thank you, Agnes. I think our listeners will have a better understanding of what we're talking about now. So tell us, how did you find out about sickle cell disease?
For me, when I fully understood sickle cell disease when our daughter was diagnosed with this condition when she was 14 months old. But before this, all I knew was that I heard around, people talking about the disease when I was in primary school. And for years, I never thought in a million years that I would actually be affected by it.
Sure.
But when we migrated to Australia, we found friends that came from my country, and they had kids who had sickle cell disease. And I helped them with babysitting numerous times. I would sit in the hospital with their kids. And afterwards, what happened to us, I feel God was preparing me in a way.
Mm-hmm.
However, all this changed when I was expecting our youngest child. What I think, and I have to say, there should be like a clinical explanation to what happened to me. Around the 7th month of my pregnancy, I was really sick. Mm-hmm. I was in hospital for almost 8 weeks. And 2 weeks of those I spent in ICU, and the doctor didn't know what was wrong with me. They did all the tests they could. Seriously, they couldn't find anything wrong. The symptoms were just simply I had pain, especially painful skin. I had a sore throat, and my HP kept dropping. So in their blood checking and all the blood cultures, they did detect that I had the sickle cell trait. But what they forgot to do, I think in the midst of everything, they forgot to test my husband to see the possibility that our child was going to be affected by sickle cell disease. Later on, I think in about maybe 1.5 months in hospital, they decided to start treating me with steroids. Mm-hmm. But that was before try and error medications. I don't know what medications they gave me. I was jaundiced at some point. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. But after they started using the steroids, I started picking up. And I was discharged from hospital 2 weeks before our daughter was born.
Oh, my gosh.
And when she was born, she had, you know, a healthy weight. I put it healthy in inverted commas because she looked normal. And the doctor said, you know, surprisingly, the baby's fine. But when we took her home and after a few months, there was just something, you know, there was just, she was just different. She was my fourth child. You know, all my kids had never been in hospital, but with her, there was something that I couldn't pick why she was different.
Mm-hmm.
And so around 6 months, she started having funny symptoms that we didn't know at the time were sickle cell symptoms. She had the foot and hand syndrome at 6 months. At 7 months, she had the first attack of a pneumonia, which wasn't as severe. She was treated with antibiotics. And again, I would go and tell them in hospital the story of my life. I was sick. I almost died when I was pregnant with her. Please do a full blood test on her. But the doctors didn't listen to me.
Oh, so
at about 9 months, yeah, she had an what they call BRU. It's just a brief and resolved and explained event where she sort of, I don't know whether she lost consciousness or we don't know what happened for about maybe 2 to 5 minutes. She was just waiting. Her eyes were pale. Her lips were pale. Her eyes became yellow. And before we could call an ambulance, she just picked up and started walking and started running. We're like, oh, that was strange.
Mm-hmm.
At 12 months, she had another attack of pneumonia. And this time, I took her to hospital 3 times, but coincidentally, she had an immunization injection, and the doctor said, no, it's just the reaction of the injection, so just take her back. 3 times, her temperature was down, up, and the doctor just said, no, she's fine if they, you know, the injection. On the fourth presentation, this time, her temperature was almost 40 degrees Celsius, took her to the hospital, and then they now started panicking, running around. They did the test, and after doing all sorts of blood tests, that's when they told us, you know, it's a different long story how they told us, but in the end, this is the time we found out, and that time they told us that she had sickle cell disease and she had 87% sickle cells. So that's how we found out, and that's how our life changed. That was 11 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And how has your daughter been treated for this disease?
Well, it started off with different, and you know, every sickle cell patient is different.
Sure.
And our child is one of those cases where we tried everything. I would say literally everything up to where we are today. So she started off, they started off with hydroxyurea because that's the first thing they started with. And it was for her hydroxyurea and antibiotics and just some iron tablets. For the first few years of her life, about 5 years, the hydroxyurea all of a sudden stopped working because hydroxyurea is supposed to increase the fetal hemoglobin, and the fetal hemoglobin just stopped growing, so it stopped working, and she had also other complications from that. So we stopped that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started doing just routine blood transfusions when she was in pain, but because of when she was presented at 12 months, she had a very acute chest syndrome and the lung collapse, and they took out part of her lung. So her issues over the years was more a chest, you know, infections, pneumonias, almost every winter. This was a terrible time. In hospital almost every 2 weeks. So the blood transfusions never really worked much for her because we were in hospital almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
And with transfusions also comes other complications. So she started having iron overload, and we started taking more medications to stop the iron overload. And over the years, they decided to say, okay, no blood transfusion. And then she developed also antibodies.
Oh.
So we stopped transfusions. We started what they call red cell exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Red cell exchange for a while. But before this, we started having the discussion of a bone marrow transplant.
Okay.
Because our third daughter was 100% match. So because my story is quite long, I'll just say we went through everything until in the end, she had a bone marrow transplant last year.
Okay.
And we were one of the few, because it's very, you know, difficult to get 100% match,
right,
to have a sibling donor to have the transplant. And she had it last year in February.
Okay.
And that's where we are today. She's still under treatment. She just over a year after having a bone marrow transplant.
How's she doing now?
Oh, she's pretty good. She's actually pretty good. But this was scary for us with the coronavirus, because she's still she's not fully immunized. So we had to just like literally close her in. But she's doing really well. The transplant went very well. Very minor complications, and she's very well.
That's good to hear.
Yes, yes.
Well, is there a possible cure for sickle cell in the future, or?
So with as I said, the only cure, they said there's a cure. The only cure is a bone marrow transplant at the moment, but with that comes with restrictions. I don't know other parts of the world. I know in Australia, definitely, you can only do a bone marrow transplant if you have a sibling donor. And just to say, our daughter was the only child, has been the first child with sickle cell SS to have the bone marrow transplant at the Royal Children's Hospital. So the bone marrow transplant is a possible cure. Depends which part of the world you are, whether you can do a full match or, you know, half match. But there's also other things happening in terms of the gene therapy clinical trials coming up.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I've heard about the gene therapy.
And I know there was news in 2014 where they had first grown bone marrow in a laboratory, but really haven't heard anything since then. So.
We'll keep an eye on that, though. Right.
Absolutely.
Right. We'll just keep
hoping
for that. I did have a different question, though. Because of the COVID, is she not allowed to go out at all during this? And is your entire family quarantined because of this?
Yes, we are quarantined just like everybody else. But she, before the virus, she was allowed. She's gone back to school. They actually allowed her to go way early, and we decided to say, like, no, we don't want her to go. I think after 100 or so days, we refused for her to go in the first term. But afterwards, she was fine. She's going back to school, and everything was normal until the COVID came in, and we're all quarantined just like anybody else.
Okay. Does she have to take anti-rejection medicine?
She did that for a year. So we took she took those medications for a year. And she just stopped about 2 months ago, because today is 436 days post the bone marrow transplant.
Okay.
She stopped the last medications about 2 months ago, about a month ago or so. Right now, she's just on the antibiotic, because one of the things that, you know, with all the complications, was they took her spleen out.
Oh.
So she needs to take antibiotics for the rest of her life. So that's the only medication from maybe 20 tablets when she was doing the treatment, but now she's only down to one.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. But she took on to injection for a year.
Okay, thank you. All right, go ahead, Ron.
So Agnes, I apologize if I missed this earlier. How common is it for people to get sickle cell disease? Is it fairly common, or is it not something that many people wind up getting?
Sickle cell is genetic, so it's a genetic condition, and previously you would say it depends from which part of the world you're coming from, because it's got a history with malaria, but you have to have a gene, so you have to have, which is they call sickle cell, to have sickle cell trait, and there's different people that are affected, depends where you come from. So it's most common from people of ancestors from Africa, Mediterranean countries such as Greece, Turkey or Italy, the Arabian Peninsula, India, Spanish-speaking regions in South America, Central America and parts of the Caribbean. So it's common sickle cell is common inherited blood disorder in the United States, affecting 70,000 to 80,000 Americans. The disease is estimated to occur in 1 in 500 African Americans and 1 in 1,000 to 1,000 Hispanic Americans. In Australia, unfortunately, we don't have a database, so I wouldn't be able to tell you the numbers. We're still working on that as an association. But it's not that common compared to America, and most people don't even know that it exists.
Wow.
Thank you for that. From what I remember, it used to be considered fatal. Is that true anymore?
Well, yes and no. I found some information on the internet from a great site called Rethink Sickle Cell. Historically, sickle cell disease was viewed as a pediatric condition with a life expectancy in the United States of just 14 years. But today, as a result of advances in screening and interventions, people with sickle cell disease typically live into adulthood. It does tend to reduce the lifespan considerably. The average lifespan in the United States is 30 years less than the lifespan of the general population.
That's a big hit.
And what attributes to that shorter lifespan?
Well, I can answer that one. I heard that reduced life expectancy may be attributed to ongoing silent vaso-occlusion. A vaso-occlusive crisis is a common painful complication of sickle cell anemia in adolescents and adults, and that's when the circulation of the blood vessels is obstructed by those sickled or curved red blood cells, and ischemic injuries can result. I'm getting that deer in the headlight look from Gene. I'll break it down. Ischemia is a restriction in the blood supply to the tissues, causing a shortage of oxygen that's needed for cellular metabolism to keep the tissue alive. And the sickle cells are misshapen. They're curved like a sickle or a crescent moon. And the red blood cells that are supposed to be bringing the oxygen to all parts of the body, right? And with the sickle cells, because they're misshapen, they can get stuck.
Right. I like to picture it like a hook. It's like kind of like a fish hook.
Right. Like and you've gotten stuck by a fish hook.
And also they clump. They can clump together. Sure.
Right.
Okay.
And then it can block off blood temporarily to a leg or a hand, for instance. And the lack of oxygen-rich blood is called a crisis. The most common complaint is pain. And this happens often enough, and instead of an arm and a leg, it happens in a kidney, lungs, or a heart, and it can cause irreversible organ damage. One of the most severe forms is the acute chest syndrome, which Agnes was talking about with her daughter, and that occurs as a result of permanent damage or death to a part of the lung that does the gas transfer, the oxygen, and and this can rapidly result in death.
So it really does sound like we all need to be more aware,
right,
of this genetic condition, and then also put more funds into research for treatment options and support people that are living with this condition on a day-to-day basis and their families, because
it's serious.
It's very, very serious, and I'm stressed just hearing about it, and I can't, Agnes, you have such strength to get, and you can tell that you're, you know, like when you were saying that when you knew something was wrong with your daughter, I'm really glad that she has you for to support her. And I can see why that life expectancy has is variable. Are there any studies going on right now that we can, learn more about? Or, are there any studies going on to try to find another possible cure or additional treatments for sickle cell disease?
Well, there's trials using new bone marrow and stem cell transplant procedures. They have cured a small number of some adults with sickle cell disease, and current research is exploring ways to reduce the risk of serious complications, including strokes, hypertension, respiratory problems, and vulnerability to overwhelming bacterial infections. There's a lot of research in these days in sickle cell.
That's wonderful. And I guess we still, though, have a long way to go.
Yeah, true enough. Sickle cell disease is considered a rare disease here in Australia. So we're still finding patients and caregivers and even clinicians. You know, my daughter was born 11 years ago, but we still have to explain what it is today. And most people, even in the community, they don't know that they're at risk of having it. And so because of that, I started helping to raise awareness, and I co-founded the Australian Sickle Cell Advocacy.
That's amazing. Can you tell us more about that?
For me, this was, I asked myself how I found myself to do this, but it started off as a coping mechanism for me because I was lost. Like, our family was lost. We didn't know what it was. We didn't know what sickle cell disease was. To be honest, I didn't even know how to spell it when the doctors were telling me. My head was just spinning. So the only thing I could do was to go on Google and started researching. And a lot of Facebook groups, I joined a lot of Facebook groups, and most of them were American Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think some of the groups, not all, some of the groups that I joined scared me. The information that were posted on those groups scared me. The things that people were going through, just, you know, I started seeing my daughter over the years that she was going to be going through that. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I created my own Facebook page where I started posting things to sort of, for me, as I said, was coping mechanism. Positive news. I started posting a lot of news on research going on, anything that I would hear about any research, like all this gene editing. I started a long time ago, I started posting any medications coming up, good news from sickle cell patients, all those. So I started putting positive news on our Facebook page, and over the years, the numbers grew as we continued on. We started in 2014 with my husband, and by 2018, we had over 5,000 followers and a lot of people asking us questions from all over the world, not just Australia, you know, finding out, you know, we didn't even know we have it in Australia. And so in 2018, we decided to register it formally as a not-for-profit organization. Mm-hmm. And so we started now, you know, seriously going into, you know, meeting the policymakers, the clinicians, the hospitals, just even the communities that are vulnerable, that, you know, they might know. You know, I always tell them an example of myself, that I had 3 kids without knowing that I had carried the gene.
Right.
So if we didn't have our fourth child, who, by the way, wasn't planned, I wouldn't even know that I carried the gene.
Right.
I wouldn't even know that some of our kids carried, because we had to test our kids, and one of our child is also carried the sickle cell trait. So I always tell them that, you know, I won't even tell you of other people in other books. I'll just look at me. This is my story. I didn't know that I carried the gene. So you come from this part of the world, you have to get tested. Mm-hmm. And even if you have all the kids, all the 10 kids you have, and they don't have sickle cell disease, they might be carrying the gene. So you're better off doing that for them and for the next generation so that they can get tested. And that's what we've been doing since 2018. And we've had an impact, to be honest. Last year was a very good year for us. And people are listening. We've got letters from the Minister of Health, the Federal Minister of Health, and just other policymakers who are supporting our cause. And our Federal Member of Parliament came on board. She's now an official ambassador for our association. But there's a lot of things that we need to change, because, as I said, it's not very common, one thing, but also just in terms of services for people with sickle cell disease, we need to fight for better conditions in terms of getting their medications cheaper. There's what we call, you know, a healthcare card that we need to make it easy for them to get, because sickle cell is not really recognized so much as a chronic disease. You have to go through a different questions for you to get that card. We don't have a database. I couldn't even tell you the numbers. We don't have a conclusive database. They are trying to collect data, but it's not conclusive. And just for other issues that we're trying to fight for. So that's where we are in terms of advocacy work.
That's amazing,
Agnes, all the work that you've been doing.
And it sounds like you created what you as a mother, you know, needed in other mothers and other family members and I'm just give yourself a pat on the back and a big hug from us, because we're so proud to be able to talk with you about this.
One thing, could you please give us that website or any other social media information so that our listeners can find out more?
So we are Australian Sickle Cell Advocacy. That's where we are. And our website is AUS for Oz Australia, AUSSickleAdvocacy@.org.
Okay.
AUSSickleCellAdvocacy.org is our website. We also have the Facebook page, Australian Sickle Cell Advocacy. You can find us on Twitter at AUSSickle. And Australian Sickle Cell Advocacy on Instagram, and Australian Advocacy on LinkedIn. So
that's where you can find all that information on the website.
Right. Definitely. And it's on our Pinterest page for sickle cell as well.
Right. I do have one little piece of information for you. When we were speaking with another sickle cell mother last week, during this COVID experience, I've been doing some research, and they found that some patients are affected by stroke, not by having trouble breathing or by coughing.
Right. It might affect the sickle cell population slightly different
right.
than other populations.
It's for some reason, the blood is thickening in some of the patients with COVID. So you might be more, you know, your daughter might be more at risk because of that possibility with the COVID-19. And we certainly don't want anything happening to her. She's already been through the mill. So I just thought I'd pass that information on to you, that the blood could thicken if she got COVID-19.
She was exposed, right.
And she certainly doesn't need that on top of everything else.
Right. But that's still a developing thing. And yeah, right. Well, I'll keep our eyes on that.
Do you have any tips, hints, or suggestions for our listeners before we wrap the episode up?
Well, for me, I always tell the parents that I talk to is for you to get involved, first of all. So, no, if possible, it's not possible all the time, but if possible, get involved with the treatment for your child. You know, walk the journey with the doctors. Try to ask a lot of questions. You know, it might sound extreme, but for me, I had to change my career to understand what my daughter was going through. I was a banker for years from a business world, but I changed my career to nursing because I wanted to understand. I'm not saying people can do that. That was me. But, mm-hmm. you know, get involved with your child's treatment. Make sure you ask a lot of questions. If you don't understand something, don't wait until the next appointment. I'm glad we have doctors like my child's hematologist who was looking after her before she had a bone marrow transplant. I had a mobile number and I would call her anytime. Make sure you find out everything and don't wait. But also looking after your child. Be compliant with medications. Be compliant with the weather, because sickle cell patients, you know, anything extreme is not good for them. Too cold is too bad for them. Too hot is bad for them. Make sure that you are looking out for the weather. Talk to the schools, have a school care plan. Every school they go to and every teacher they go to, you might take it to school and the next teacher won't even know. So make sure you emphasize every term that, you know, this is what my child is going through. As I said, compliance with medications, and just look out for any small infection or anything. Make sure you get the doctor's advice. Don't overlook it and say, you know, the body will take care of itself. You have to be on top of everything so that, you know, you don't have to wait until you end up in hospital.
That was good advice.
Yeah, you know what? Your daughter's very lucky to have you.
Absolutely. Agnes, on behalf of Lita and Jean Marie, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story. I'm sure everyone, us and our listeners, I'm sure everyone learned a lot from hearing you speak today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Maybe as we said before, you've never been to Australia, I'd like to invite you to come next year. We're having our first conference on the 18th of September 2021 in Adelaide, South Australia. So if you can come and join me and my team, and I'll send you through the details of our conference website that you can put up as well. Thanks for having me.
Great.
Yeah, I plan on going. I'm just going to put it on my expense account.
Road trip. Okay. Yeah.
Please come. It would be nice to have you.
Thank you, Agnes.
Well, if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment or before undertaking a health regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.